that when it seemed our hope was lost, love divine would reach way down for me. Chose the greater sacrifice, freely giving up his life, and for my part in trade his majesty. Oh, the wonder, holy wonder, beauty like the world has never seen, is your love for me, is your love for me. With every breath and every song I sing, I echo back me. Above all time, Lord, you remain the one the grave could not contain. You hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Lord of heaven, King of all. What a wonder, what a thought, that when it seemed our hope was lost, love divine would reach way down for me. Chose the greater sacrifice, freely giving up his life, and for my part in trade, his majesty. Oh, the wonder, holy wonder, beauty like the world has never seen, is your love for me, is your love for me. With every breath and every song echo back your love for me. Above all time, Lord, you remain the one the grave could not contain. You hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Lord of heaven, King of all.
First off, I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. You might not find this, but this is the first minister ordination service that we've ever had in Pine Hill. So y'all will be a part of the history of Pine Hill Church, because this is the first one we went back and we've checked. And it's going to take somebody with a little bit more age than some of us that we've never been here. We've had a few that has left here and was ordained at different churches, but we've never had one that was ordained in this church. So we're in that tonight. We're glad to have each of you out tonight. And we just welcome everyone to be and to have this sort of service. We've, like I said, we've never had it before, so you're one of the first. So, but welcome everyone, and welcome you back. If you don't have a home church, come back and be with us. We would welcome you anytime. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice in what you have done in Jason's life. As he is ordained today, the Savior called him, he taught him, and greatly used him. And today he stands on the threshold of a lifetime of ministry. Our passion and concern, Lord, is that you use him way beyond his highest expectations. We know that you are able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask and think, according to the power that is within us. And today we thank you for his mother, his grandparents, his spouse, his family, his children, his friends, his teachers, his mentors, godly men and women who have built into the life of Jason, preparing him for the occasion in which he has been called. And we pray that you keep him clean from the midst of the corruption of generations. Maybe shine light to the midst of the darkness world. We pray that, Lord, will use him with increasing efficiency for his great glory. Your words tell us that when you call us to do anything, you will always provide needed resources. And may we draw deeply from the well of grace. We are exalted to think of how desperately he has needed men who are committed to the grace of the gospel, the grace of God, the expression of the use of God in the faithful and loving service in the will of God. Keep him on his knees, learning the power of prayer. I've always asked the question, is it really worth doing anything if you can do it without prayer? Give him the passion of our Savior, who at the end of his life commanded his disciples, go therefore and make disciples. Father, as a good shepherd, go before him, lead him in the path to his will, and to do encouragingly. Keep him from sin, and in his success, prevent him from dwelling on his press reports, and humble him under the mighty hand of God. Multiply the gift to spend and enrich the body of Christ. Replace him in the body of Christ, the heart of Christ, the life of Christ. And now, Jason, as we exalt you, as it states in Acts, now I command you to go to God and to the world of his grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance among those who are sanctified, as we ask it unexpectedly and believingly, in the wonderful name of our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's take out our hymn books and turn to hymn number 6 of our 10, please, and stand, please. Hymn number 10.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe is great. Cleansing my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the bird sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and high. My spirits can't take it in. Bed on the walls, my burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Be seated, please.
Good evening. The Ministry Ordination Council has met with Jason Wilder for a time of testing and affirmation of his call into the gospel ministry. The members of the Ordination Council recommend continuing with the ordination of Jason into the gospel ministry.
Lord in heaven, King of all, through the fire or bitter cold, ever may my words be bold. Loudly I'll declare the price you pay. Jesus, make my heart so brave to trade my life for those enslaved, to sing the love that washes sin.
All right, how are we sounding now? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. For those of you who are visiting, I'm Kerry Dinkins. I'm the pastor here at Pine Hill. And this is a special day in the life of our church, a special day in the life of Pine Hill, a special day in the life of an awesome couple. So today's a special day this morning, and our time together this morning, Brother Jason shared his testimony. And I told the church this morning that typically a testimony of ordination service is about 3 to 5 minutes, and Jason went at least 48 this morning. So I said, we'll hold off on sharing that this evening. And so he did get to share a brief testimony with our ordination council. But Jason shared his heart with us this morning, and then I placed the charge before the church this morning. So the charge went before the church this morning, and so the message this evening is strictly for the Jason as he is called into the gospel ministry. So it's a special day for our church as we acknowledge and commission the individual who God has set apart and called into the gospel ministry. It's a special day in the life of Jason, his family, as he surrenders to the call that God has placed on his life. It's a very special time for me to be his pastor, to have walked with him this last year. He shared with me over a year ago about his feeling the call. And so this evening I'm going to share with you some scripture about the call. And then I'm going to, he gave me the liberty to share with you some personal things for myself as being called into the pastor. And so those are all going to be things that we're going to talk about this evening. But it's a special time for me. God said, go therefore and make disciples. Through Jesus Christ, he told us to go and make disciples who become disciple makers. But he also set people aside to be pastors, to be elders. And certainly that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you are able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word? We'll be starting in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 11 through 16 together. Just read along. It'll be on the screen. If you want to look in your Bible, certainly we'll be in Ephesians 4. So starting together, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, so to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking in the truth and love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. For Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by proper working of each individual part." Pray with me, please. Father God, just come before you this evening. God, just thank you for who you are. Father, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. God, I just ask that you cleanse me of every sin, cleanse me of every impurity. And Father, I ask that you hide your servant behind the cross and allow me to deliver your message to your people. These things I ask in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message this evening I listed as being a pastor. Being a pastor is a calling, and that's very important. Being a pastor is a calling. We're going to talk about that call in this evening. We talked to Jason about that in our Presbytery conference together. But preaching the Word of God is a calling. All Christians are called into ministry to share the gospel, to tell people about Jesus Christ. But being a pastor is a specific calling, and preaching the Word of God is a calling. The Bible says that God called some to be apostles. He called some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And when I look in my Bible, there's no comma between the word pastor and teacher. It puts them together. The pastor has to be a teacher. He has to teach the Word of God. He has to be able to teach it with clarity. The pastor is a teacher. The Apostle Paul lists one of the requirements of an elder as being a teacher. An elder and pastor a lot of times is utilized as the same call. But the pastor has to be a teacher. That's very significant in God's Word. Jesus extended the invitation for all people to become members of his immediate family. He wanted all people to come into his family. He adopts all those who are willing to come into his family. He used two simple words that have significant implications, and they come with some significant responsibilities that go along with that. He used the words, "Follow me." Two of the most critical words that Jesus used in his ministry were the words, "Follow me." They carried a lot of weight. They carried a lot of implications. They carried a lot of uncertainty. "Follow me" was not really understood in the beginning. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, there were some uncertainties that they were going to encounter. He used the same two words to change the lives of his initial followers, the disciples, when he called them out of the boat, when he called them out of the tax collector's booth, when he called them to follow him. He used those same words, and he just simply looked at them and said, "Follow me." But he changed their lives. He challenged the disciples to leave their professions, to leave their livelihoods, to leave the way that they made a living, just to follow him. He said, "Follow me." And basically what he was saying was, "I want to make you something that you're not. I want to change you into something that I want you to be." And you think about those words, "Follow me." I want to change you into what I want you to be. Jesus continues to use those same two words to change lives of people today. He calls people into ministry opportunities, whether or not it's deacon ministry, whether or not it's elder ministry, whether or not it's just Christian ministry or pastoral ministry. He uses those same two words. He takes those exact same words and calls people into pastoral ministry today, basically saying, "Follow me, and I want to make you something that I want you to be, something I want to use you in a way that only I can use. I'll set you aside for something else. It's not going to be easy." One, that's one of the misnomers about being a pastor, and it's a joke about pastors only working 1 or 2 days a week. Amen? Y'all realize that? Lord help us. There will be struggle. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. There will be difficulty. There will be times when you want to throw your hands up. There's more pastors that want to walk away from the ministry on Monday morning after preaching on Sunday. You believe that? Let me tell you, and I'll tell you this to be truth, there's more pastors leaving the ministry than going into the ministry. There will be struggle and there will be difficulty. But what did Jesus say? "I'll walk with you every step of the way." Amen. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When it comes difficult, when it's hard, I'll be right there with you." Simply put, what Jesus is saying in these two most powerful words that he uses is, "I want you to lean on me. I want you to learn from me. I want to be there with you. I want you to grow closer to me." Man, in every single service that we talk about growing closer to the Lord. Amen? When we come together, that's what we're studying the Word for, because we want to grow closer to him. Jesus says, "Grow closer to me. Tell people about me. I want you to tell people how much I love them, because I went to the cross for them. I want you to show how much I love them. Tell people what I have done for them and tell them how much and how they can have a relationship with me." Amen? We want them to know how they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jason shared with us early on this morning when he was talking about his real father passing away. And initially, the only way Jason was ever going to know or see his real father was to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that he could have it see him in eternity. The basic call to follow Jesus and become a Christian does not change when the Christian is called to be a pastor. When Jesus calls a pastor into the gospel ministry, he is very clear on what he wants the pastor to do. It's three simple words. He used two simple words to call him in. He says, follow me. But when he talks about the pastor's work and what he wants him to do, he uses three specific words, and those words are, feed my sheep. Amen? Y'all know what that means? He says, I want you to care for them. Man, they're important to me. My sheep are important to me. The shepherd sheep are important to him. He would do anything for them. I want you to care for them. I want you to nurture them. I want you to love them the way that I love them, not the way that you love them, not the way your mother loves you, not the way that anybody else loves you. I want you to love the sheep the way that I love them. Y'all with me? He calls pastors for a specific purpose, and the Bible says the purpose is to equip and strengthen the body of Christ for the work of his ministry. To equip and strengthen the body of Christ. The body of Christ is all believers. Equipping and strengthening the body of Christ is done by preaching the word of God. It's done by teaching the word of God in its entirety, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. In entirety, the whole thing. Pastoral care is a unique calling. It's like no other calling that God has. It's something that's set apart. An individual is set apart for a specific purpose. It is a serious calling, and it should not be taken lightly. Amen? God said, care for my sheep. That's certainly not something we need to be taken lightly. Pastors need to embrace this calling to follow Jesus. For many people, there comes a time in their life when they feel and they hear that still small voice of God talking to them. He says, I want you to preach my word. That's a still small voice because God speaks to people today. He speaks to individuals every single day. You just got to open up your ears and listen to him. You got to get into his word and read his word, and you'll see him talking to you. That voice and that calling is something that you never forget. When you hear it as a pastor, you never forget that call. God calls pastors to care for what he treasures the most. Amen? That's something I learned from a pastor a week ago. He was talking to a bunch of us pastors, and he said, let me tell you something. God has called pastors to care for what he treasures the most. He cares for what he created. When you look at it, he created us in the image of himself. God created mankind in the image of himself. He said, let us create man in our image. He desires for us to grow in our relationship with him. He desires for us to spend eternity with him. We are what he treasures the most, and he's called pastors to take care of that. And he's given pastors the charge and the responsibility to care for what he treasures most. Let's look in John 21. Look at John 21, verse 15 through 17. Three charges that Jesus is going to give to pastors. And let's read them together. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? When you think about that, he specifically asked him, do you love me more than the other disciples? Do you love me in a different way when you're thinking about it? Because God wants us to love his sheep the way that he loves the sheep. And he says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know I love you. And Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And the second time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. He asked for the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was so grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus told him, he said, feed my sheep. Three specific issues about sheep and the shepherd. When we look at that, the pastor is in a position and he has one office, but he has many responsibilities. Let me tell you something. The pastor wears many hats. Amen. There's a lot of different hats that go on the pastor. He has many responsibilities, one office. The role of a pastor represents that of a shepherd who is the under-shepherd to the good shepherd. He's the under-shepherd to the good shepherd. His role is very clear. He is to feed and lead God's flock by using the Word of God to nourish them and feed the sheep on the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation for what the pastor should teach and what he should preach. But let me tell you something. The driving force behind the pastor and the reason that the pastor preaches and teaches the Word of God is because of the love that he has for the Father. When you go back to Simon Peter, Jesus is making it very clear. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Then go out and minister. The whole thing is foundation on the love that people and pastors have for God the Father. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things, and you know I love it. Man, you know all things. We know who you are. You are the Messiah. We know that you know all things, and you know, Father, you know I love you. Then take care of those that I have placed in your care. Man, that's a lot of responsibility, Jason. Take care of those that I've placed under your care. Jesus used the analogy of a shepherd, and it's so good when we work through this scripture together about the good shepherd because of significance in the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd would do anything for the sheep. He'd lay down his life for his sheep. He would leave the 99 and go after the one. It's what the Bible says. He takes care of the sheep. His life revolves around taking care of the sheep. The sheep are dependent on the care and the guidance of the shepherd. And it's pretty important to be the shepherd of the sheep. The pastor has a twofold challenge. He must not only bring the Word of God to the people, but he must also bring the people to the Word of God. It's very important that they hear the Word of God. He is to shepherd God's people and then deliver God's Word to them for the purpose of showing how much God loves them, for the purpose of strengthening their relationship with Him. Every time we come into God's house, every time we open up God's Word, the whole purpose is to grow closer to our Heavenly Father, to learn more about Him. It is the purpose of growing closer and knowing God better each and every time we open up His Word, and for the purpose of strengthening and equipping the church and to do the work that God has called us to do. He didn't call us to sit idle. He didn't call us just to show up on Sunday to have a check box and to check it off that we went to church. That's not what He called us to do. He called us for a specific purpose. Pastors, on three separate occasions, Jesus gave Peter specific instructions on how to care for His children. He said, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and feed my sheep. All three of these things mean the same thing. All of them mean the same thing. They all mean to love what I treasure the most. They all mean the same thing about feeding them the Word of God and helping them grow closer to me. The primary focus of taking care of God's children is directly related to the love that pastors have for the Lord and Savior. And pastors have to care for what God treasures the most. Jason, I'd like to share with you seven different points of pastoral care that are personal to me as a pastor. These go person to me. They're very important. I want to share them with you because of the importance they have in my life. At a men's conference in 2014, I sensed that God wanted me to do something that I hadn't been doing. I had been serving Him as a deacon. I had been serving in a church. I was faithful to the church. I was dedicated to my profession. But I sensed God wanted me to do something that I had not been doing. I sensed Him telling me and asking me and instilling upon me that He wanted me to preach the Word. And yet I still didn't understand that. I've never forgotten those words and that feeling. When I discussed that feeling with my pastor at that time, and I shared that with some of them in the ordination council, but it was Dr. Joe Allen. When I asked Dr. Joe, I said, Dr. Joe, what is it like to hear the call? What's it like when you hear the call? And he looked at me, and he looked at me for a minute. He said, if you can do anything else, don't preach. I'm thinking, what kind of encouragement is that? He said that to me. He said, if you can do anything else, don't preach. And I did not really understand that statement at the time. I just wondered, what did he mean by that? If you can do anything else, don't preach. He's telling me not to preach if you can do anything else. Because one, I was pretty successful in my profession. I felt good about what I was doing in my professional life. And I learned a lot and I was doing a lot and I was very productive in it. But he's saying, don't preach if you can do anything else. But as I begin to grow and my understanding of what God wanted me to do, I came to realize that I did not want to do anything else. it changed my life. I didn't want to do anything else but preach. The desires that I had for my previous profession were no longer the focal point of my life. God was leading me in a different direction. Even though I still lean on that previous profession a lot of times as far as offering counsel. But when you think that he was leading me in a different direction, preaching still fills me with joy. The same joy that I fulfilled and got the very first time when I got to step in the pulpit. That's number one. Number two, I have the entirety of God's word to preach. This is important. I have the entirety of God's word to preach. In my hands, I hold a book in my language that's in the English language that I can understand, that I can open freely at any time, night or day, without any threat to my life. I can study it, I can meditate on it, I can apply it to my life without any limitations or without any restrictions. And I have the opportunity to preach the truth about Jesus Christ, about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all those who want to listen to it. Amen. Isn't that something? You get to preach the whole word, buddy. It's a lot different. Number three, I get to teach the word of God. Not just preach it, but teach it. It's a little bit different. The book that I get to teach from is not just any book. I've read and studied a lot of books. I looked at this and I have read and studied many books throughout my life. I can say that I have a lot of book knowledge, but mostly in medical books. But the book that God has given me to use as a resource for every single event in our lives is not just great literature. It's not just a textbook. It's very important. No, it's the inspired word of God written by man through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is significant to me, and it's significant to you. It is a story about God himself, and Jesus Christ is the main character in the story. It's a story that describes who God is. It's a story that describes what God is. It's a story that describes what he's done and how much he loves his creation. And for whatever reason, beyond my human understanding, he allows me to be able to opportunity to guide others and understand and apply his word to what he wants them to live for their lives. It's a heavy, powerful responsibility God gives a pastor. It's a heavy burden many times, but it's an awesome opportunity. Number four, I get to experience the power of the word, both as I prepare the message that God wants me to preach and as I preach it. There's just as much excitement in preparing the message as there is in preaching it because of how God moves when you're studying his word. There's just a sense of excitement in the preparation of God's word to be delivered to the people. The deeper you get into God's word, the more exciting it gets. Amen. If you know anything about the word, the more you know, the more you want to know. The deeper you get inside of his word, the more exciting it gets. There's a sense of excitement in presenting God's word to his people. When you know and understand that the word of God has the power and the potential to change the lives of people, it gets pretty exciting. He can radically change people and change their lives when they hear it and when they apply it to their lives. James 1:22 says this, "But be doers of the word, not just hearers only." You can hear it, but you got to apply it. It's hard to describe that feeling that I get in teaching the word of God. The more you teach it, the more you want to teach it. God's presence can be overwhelming when his word is taught. Number five, I get to preach to God's people. God's people, his children, those that he treasures the most. One of the greatest feelings for me as a pastor is when we stand together in honor of the reading of God's word. And people open up their Bibles, whether they have a hard copy or an app on their phone, or they look intently at the screens and focus on the screens as God's word is displayed and it's read aloud, because it's all powerful. God's word is very powerful. When you get an occasional amen, you have to pull them out sometimes. But occasionally you'll get one. And what happens is that you get an amen from someone who's feeling the power of the Holy Spirit, or when they are focused intently on what's being preached, on about the Word of God, and they're focused on the Word of God and hearing it, and they're diving into it. You simply cannot understand and know that feeling unless you've been there. And you've been there because you stepped in this pulpit many times, and so are several other fellows, but you know what it's like to get that encouragement. And God gives the pastor the opportunity to do it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, 52 Sundays out of the year. Some Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and in between, that one day a week that he works. Number six, I get to see God use the word to change lives. Sometimes the work of God's work in the individual heart, you can see it immediately. Sometimes it's instant. You see them change, that life has changed. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes days and months. And after the sermon's preached, maybe somebody will come and talk to you later on about it. But let me tell you something. The Bible says God's word will never return void. Amen? That's a good place to say amen. The fact that God is willing to use me and give me the opportunity to serve in ministry here as pastor is very humbling. Being a pastor is a very humbling opportunity. The fact that he would use me in the process of changing lives of people is increasingly humbling. It's incredibly humbling. Last thing, Jason, I always find joy in preaching no matter what I'm dealing with in my own life. And we've talked about that. And you've had some issues with that when some disruptions might have come up. But I always find joy in preaching no matter what I'm dealing with in my personal life. When we enter into God's house and we step behind the pulpit and we open up God's word, our focus becomes on the one who created us. Nothing else is important. That's what I pray every Sunday morning, that we would tune everything else out. Nothing's important but focusing on God and giving him the glory for what takes place. Nothing in life matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. Teaching the word of God reminds us that God is bigger than anything we're facing at any given point in our lives. No matter what you're dealing with, when you walk in, God is bigger than anything that you're facing. And there's no way that our preaching can adequately describe how great our God is, because he's awesome. Amen. Jason, I'm going to give you about six charges, and then I'm going to finish up with it, buddy. God has called you. He's gifted you. He's prepared you. He's given you an assignment. He's given you a message to proclaim, and he's made you an original. Don't be anybody else but Jason. It's all about what God wants to use you and how he wants to use you. Be yourself and let God use you for his mission and his glory. And as you continue to grow in your relationship with our Lord, and as you serve and fulfill the calling that he has placed on your life, I encourage you to be faithful to the call, to stay humble, and to stay teachable. Pray with me, please. Father God, I just come before you this evening. Father, I just thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for what you are, and I thank you for the love that you show us each and every day. Father, I lift up the Wilder family. God, lift up Jason and Missy and each of his children. God, just place them in your hands. Father, as he surrenders to your call, and God, he wants to follow you into the ministry, and God, I just pray that you would give him the strength to do it. God, help him through the days that are difficult. Help him walk the walk that you want him to walk. And God, help him to move closer to you each and every day. Father, as our church, I pray that we would be in constant prayer for Jason as he moves forward in his call to ministry with you. God, I just pray that you would touch this family, let them feel your presence and love on it each and every day. These things I ask in your son's precious and holy name. Amen. To give you some instructions for what's about to take place. Jason, I want you to come to the front, and Missy, I have a chair for you, but Jason, you have a different position. All ordained men, if you would please line up on this wall over here, and then as you come through, we'd like for you to come through, just have prayer with Jason, and then you can exit through the middle or through the side, whichever you want. Whatever you want to say with Jason is fine, but the prayer will be fine. You just come through. You can come on down, brother, and we'll take whatever time we need. Is Lavanda here? Lavanda, would you mind just playing a medley, whatever you would like? We'll give her just a minute. All righty. Well, thank y'all for being patient and being attentive. Certainly, this is a powerful time. It's a powerful testimony. Nothing stronger than the Holy Spirit moving, and He is moving in this house tonight. Amen. I have a couple things for Jason. First, we want to present Jason with the ordination certificate. Jason successfully completed the ordination council's approval, and so we have a certificate of ordination for Jason for today. Pine Hill Baptist Church is sending Jason off as a through prayer and through support. And certainly this is the Bible that we have made for Jason. However, we didn't put his name on it yet because Jason is the one responsible for doing that. And so we had to wait. And so Jason can take this over to the print and press that we have, and he can put his name on his Bible along with everybody else that wants one. And this is from our church. But yeah. Jason, this is a Bible I want to give you, and this is some study material Bibles that pastors feel like it's very strong. Chris and I both use this as study material, but we want you to have it as well. This comes from Pine Hill Baptist Church, and certainly we want you to have it. You might need to work out with that. All right, so we're going to close. Brother Terry's going to close us in. I'm sorry, Brother Tyler's going to close us. I'm sorry. I'm done. Y'all have to excuse me. Tyler's going to close us in prayer, going to say a little blessing and bless the food. If you would like to join us for a finger food reception, we'll just exit right through this door right here, and we'll go back to the fellowship hall for a little time of fellowship. Certainly, you want to speak to Jason and Missy before you leave. I'll just let them stay up here on the front. If you're staying, speak to them and head to the fellowship hall. If you're not staying for the finger food reception, then speak to them, and then you can head out. Brother Tyler, please forgive me.
Things about Jason's past that he didn't tell us this morning. But no, my wife always says that the man should be the spiritual leader of your household. Every week she reminds me I'm not doing a good job of that. But Jason, in my opinion, does a great job. Okay? I'm proud of you. I love you. And I love what the Lord is doing in your life. Okay? You and Tracy and I have made some bad decisions in our lives, and we've answered for them. But this is one decision that you made that's the right one, to follow the Lord and what he's doing in your life. Okay, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jason and his family, what they mean to this church, what they mean to me, Lord. I pray that what you have in him will be revealed to him, Lord, and he will follow you to the ends of the earth to do your will. I pray for all those in here tonight that you will put this man on your prayer list and you will pray for him and God's will to be done in his life every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.